Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Ed Tomlinson. I will be your facilitator for Escape from Tentacle City by Willow Palacek. My pronouns are he and him. Have I said my name? Probably not.
You did.
And from the person with the most vowels in their names to the least. Go.
First name and surname combined?
Yeah.
That's me and Sue tied, I think.
And me and Nick tied.
On a tie, it'll be the...
No, Sue's got five.
Sue wins.
It's written on the screen, Sue. Your name's written on the screen.
Isn't it?
It's hard to count vowels.
Come on, guys. Time's of the essence.
My name is Sue Elliott. My pronouns are she and her. My brain is pudding this evening. And that's me done. Bye.
Think I'm next, but I'm never really sure about this whole vowels thing. My name's Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him. I've got a group which is the Women's Institute. And that's me, probably.
Are you calculating it?
It's three.
Okay, well, it's the person that can answer the following question. No, Becky, go ahead.
Okay. My name is Becky Anderson. My pronouns are she and her. And the faction I created for this game was, I think, the Neighbourhood Watch.
Oh, right, yeah. I forgot about that. That's a good point.
And I'm Nick Bate, last for the first time ever. My pronouns are he, him. And tonight I will probably play many tentacles. Plus, also, I created the underage skate kids.
Are we good to go?
Yes, I've forgotten how you play the game, though.
Okay, so basically, thank you for purchasing Escape from Tentacle City. Now, so basically, we've made all of our characters, we've set the global threat level, and we've got local threat level. So what we do now is we go through each group scene by scene. We have a scene where we establish what that group are going to try and do. There's a number of options. They then attempt to do it. We'll roll a bunch of dice, depending on whether the result, they'll either succeed, they'll have to increase the local threat level, which will increase the potential of deaths, which I'll go into later, or the tentacles will take one of you guys out, in which case we'll go to a voting round and people will decide which of the member of the groups get taken out, and then the person that gets taken out gets to describe how the tentacles take that person out. We keep going round, so I'll be playing the tentacles for my faction, which is the aliens, which I neglected to mention, and in that you will have a few minutes of the scene, then we'll decide what your actions are, roll, do the outcome, and then we'll rotate the roles as we go round. As we get further down the line, eventually you'll run out of characters in each faction, and then I'll explain what happens at that point. So just to get the ball rolling, it's quite simple, really. So would you like me to be tentacles first?
Should we start with the aliens?
Yeah, I think so. Why not?
I don't see any problem with that.
Sure.
My question is, are we all doing silly voices for the aliens? Because it's important. It'd be silly if any one of us had a silly voice.
I won't be doing a silly voice because I'm not very good at accents and I won't be able to maintain it.
I think it's fine if one or more of us is doing a silly voice. Like, if you want to go for it, Josh, then go for it.
I don't know. I kind of want to, but I'll feel self-conscious if it's just me.
You're like the one guy in fancy dress at the party.
Yep, exactly. I'll see.
Just see how it takes you in the moment. So I'm just going to look at where you are, your starting position, which is space crash site. Nick, you're
on the bingo roof.
On the bingo roof.
Bingo hall roof.
Okay. Is everyone ready to start then?
Well, I have one question before we start. Our positive and negative traits, do they mean anything other than role playing?
So positive traits do. They're explained on one of the... So positive traits generally... A lot of them are to do with bonus,
yep.
bonuses to the rolls for specific actions. Some of them are specific to surviving in a tiebreaker situation against the tentacles, and some of them are to do with getting extra gear. So the negative traits are just role-playing cues, as they say.
Nice.
I would like to point out that my character has a parasitic organism called Glamp. So I don't know if that's that only I can hear. So I don't know if you'll be taking control of that, Ed.
I probably will be until somebody dies, yes. And then somebody...
Yeah, okay.
So when somebody's not in the group anymore as a result of tentacle death, they are obviously assistant NPCs. And in this case, they can fill their boots with silly voices at that point. Glamp.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Picture the scene. A camera flying through white clouds, blue skies, drifting towards a idyllic town in Anonymousville, USA. Or are we in UK? UK.
We're clearly in the UK.
U of K.
U of K.
We zoom towards a building. Looks very much like a cinema. It has words flashing. Many of them have been smashed out by an impact from a silvery dome which rests crumpled on the roof of the bingo hall, steam emitting from the top. The elderly look like they're running from the doorway of the said bingo hall out into the streets. From the impact of the ship that rests on the roof. A door opens in the mysterious craft. What do we see, guys? Who comes out first?
I would like to make a bid for it to be the chief security officer coming out first in the most ridiculous display of kind of paranoid ducking and weaving and taking point with his illicit laser pistol. Like, I don't think he's got his illicit laser pistol out, but like in his mind it is in his hand right now. And then he will do this for quite a few moments before grudgingly saying, coast is clear for now.
I think Science Officer Teague is going to come out. I imagine Science Officer Teague. I seem to remember one of the Thermians having this kind of almost puppet-like walk, this kind of wobbly arms, almost like they're a puppet walk. And so they come walking down the gangplank like that. In fact, I just want to play that character that does that, to be honest with you. So I think they've kind of got this pale face and a little black bob of vaguely fake-looking, seemingly human hair. Where are we?
Please. I know that you're excited about this new planet, but we must treat it with care. We have no idea what the local flora and fauna is like.
Yes.
It could be extremely hostile.
At this, Ensign Jaffe staggers out of the spaceship and promptly vomits out of her gills in the side in her neck, leaning up against the spaceship.
And I think immediately after that... Precog third class Maltar drifts out of the spaceship, just feet hovering just above the ground, and says loudly, very loudly, I told you this was going to happen.
Is everybody clear on the parameters of this away mission?
No. I was busy.
Oh dear.
Predicting this would happen.
I think Teague gets out their tricorder and starts scanning just everything, and says, yes, we are here to scan the local environment, to understand the people, to bring back information for the good of our people.
And to find something to fix the drive.
I was getting to that.
Okay, so as you're saying that, from beneath the ship, well, so let me just clarify. So there's two kinds of threat levels. There's a local threat level and a global threat level. So after each round of scenes between all of the factions, the global threat level increase, but the local threat level can increase as a result of your actions within the area. So the threat level will indicate the sort of level of tentacliness in the area. So as everything is fairly low level. Your tentacle presence will be low. So bear that in mind when you're narrating the tentacles. Because I always start with a massive tentacle just ripping someone's head off, but I feel like maybe you should start a bit more low-key than that. I mean, okay. You can't go wrong with a tentacle ripping someone's head off. So from underneath the ship, some small sort of worm-like tentacles, pinky and purpley maybe? That seems like the right kind of thing, with a few suckers. They're kind of cute in a way. A sort of feeling their way through the rubble underneath your ship. And they sort of waft their way in your direction.
I'm scanning them. I have found some life forms.
Stay back, everybody. We don't know what this is.
Yes, local fauna.
I don't remember reading anything about land tentacles in the briefing document, Teak.
But look, they are here.
I have a bad feeling about this.
Stay back, Jaffy. Let the science officer take the hit. All your indicators are flashing red. Like bloop, 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 bloop. And all the arms are going up and down.
The tricorder reads, dangerous intent. Let us give them a wide berth. I think Teak is going to look like we're on a roof, right? Mm-hmm. I think from the roof we can see the model village because it's quite nearby.
Is it?
Tentacle Garden City, Model City, and Crazy Golf Course and Pleasure Gardens right next door.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Accessible on foot. And I think they're going to say, I believe I have detected a local settlement. We could go and make contact and seek for parts.
Yeah, so at this point, you've got a choice of different scene goals. Let me go through them. So one is to travel from one location to another, right? One is to try and find loot, which means you can look for stuff, basically, that will help you. You can chill out, which means you can try and recover stress. I'm trying to remember what the other one is. There's another one, isn't there? God damn it.
Take back the streets, reduce the local threat level.
Oh, take that straight. Reduce, yeah, so you can try and fight the tentacles. There is also a throwdown, which is where you and another person in the faction have a fight, which I've never had happen. So I'm going to try and make it happen this game, because I've never had it happen. So those are your options, really. So based on that suggestion, are you suggesting a scene goal, I guess, to travel from one location to another?
Presumably to travel, yes. I actually just want to go to the model village, but...
Take the aliens to the model village. I think Maltar probably floats to the edge of the roof beside you, the science officer, and closes their eyes and hums for a minute, and then opens them again and says, yes, I can see a route. It's probably just a street that runs, yeah.
I think the camera pans out slightly to reveal between the two silhouetted figures a footpath and bicycle track.
Yes, with some people just wandering along it casually.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's hurry up then. We're not here to sightsee.
Okay, so now we've established the scene goal, we can roll. So we would roll, each of you gets to roll 1d6 plus any applicable items that you roll, that you use in the scene, which I don't know whether you have.
Do they get used up?
No, they don't. They can, you can lose them as part of the scene, I think. If you have a tie, you lose the item that's involved in the scene. You can also burn an additional point of stress, of which everyone has 3, for an extra dice. So you collectively roll your dice, your total versus the tentacle's total. My tentacle's total is the current threat level, so the global threat level, local threat level, and 1 for each character. So 4D... plus 1 for the global threat level. I've got 5 dice. And then we compare the results.
And if you use gear, that's an extra dice. And stress is an extra dice.
Stress is an extra dice. Gear is plus 1 to your result. If it's pimped out, then it's +2.
Okay.
And are we just adding together the numbers that we roll?
Yes.
So at the moment, we'd be rolling 4 dice total against your 5 dice. We'd be expected to lose.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Do we want a couple of extra dice, really?
Well, so I'm also street smart. as you can tell.
So you get plus two anyway, so that's probably going to tip the balance. Brilliant.
Six dice.
Wait, is that plus two? That's plus two to the total.
Instead of plus one.
No, because it's so you've got your positive attributes which can contribute to specific actions.
Yeah, so we each roll one dice basic. Does Nick get two extra on top of that or two instead of one?
No, he just gets plus two to his total.
I'm rolling 1d6 plus two.
Oh, I see. Yeah. The number two.
So equipment and advantages just add to the total. Stress adds an additional dice to your rolling.
I'm unclear on what the challenge is about us travelling. Is the challenge that we might get encounter tentacles that try and...
Yeah, basically, the tentacles are around. Basically, I'm expecting to not complete... So if you fail really badly, one of you get killed by tentacles, which we'll just come up with. If the tentacles win, but not by a big margin, then the threat level will increase. So it means that the tentacles become more prevalent. Present in the area.
So I will use my comlink, I think. I'm imagining there's like a mothership in orbit around the planet that can provide us with tactical information about, you know, if there were some tentacles we needed to avoid.
I'm going to take a point of stress because I just use my precognitive abilities to find the footpath.
Okay. You do know you're all going to die eventually though, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to die straight away.
Speak for yourself, Josh.
Well, you want to get into it pretty quick, Josh.
I mean, you go burn your stress really early on. That's fine. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got two dice plus two, and you've got plus one dice plus one, and you guys have just got one dice.
Correct.
Right. Got it. Let's do this thing.
Let's do some rolling.
And then some mental arithmetic.
Oh, yes.
So I roll five dice, yeah? 15, so I think you've done it, right?
Yeah, so we got 14, 21.
Yeah, so you've succeeded. So if the survivors are higher, they achieve their scene goal, which is to go from one place to another.
Just to get down the street.
Do you want to narrate your movements?
Yeah, I'll be scoping out the street and then moving, you know, from parked vehicle to parked vehicle, trying to take the most unobtrusive route and generally making sure that I'm kind of keenly aware of what's going on. I'm probably doing things like jumping at squirrels because I'm unfamiliar with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, periodically, I think the entire group will get redirected in a seemingly random direction by Teak saying, oh, satellite images reveal dangers ahead as we go round like a, you know, like a duck house or something.
Whenever that happens, Maltar will probably say, I was just about to say that.
Is a duck house a thing, or did I just invent that?
Yeah, that's just usually in the middle
of
the
lake. But in a pond. So are you in a pond?
Yeah, I think so.
A shallow pond. Walk
straight through the pond and then go around the duck house painstakingly.
Except me, I hover across the water.
Yes. Do you think we might be an aquatic race so we don't register that water is a silly thing to walk through?
We've got gills.
Yeah, so I think initially you sort of leave and it all sort of makes sense and there's passers-by and you probably bump into a few people, but over the course of your journey, more and more people are alerted to the sort of strangeness. So by the time you're standing in the middle of a pond next to a duck house, a small group of people have collected around the pond to watch what's going on. A little do they realise that behind them are ever-growing tentacles.
No.
So we'll leave the aliens there, I think.
Right, so just to be clear, the threat level is currently low. That's what you were saying, Ed.
Yeah, so basically you've got a threat level which you add. So you've got the global threat level.
One.
And then...
And the local threat level zero. When's it going to go up?
So when you fail or tie, it will go up one in that area.
Okay.
So you comfortably succeeded, unfortunately.
So the fact that the threat level is low,
mm-hmm.
does it or does it not mean that nothing much should happen involving the...
Yeah, so the global threat level is... it's just an indicator of how tentacly things are at the moment. So you're not going to have, like, 50-foot high tentacles smashing down skyscrapers at this point. You're going to just have the beginnings of the presence of a tentacle threat. Although, having said that, like, when you're, like, getting to three or four global threat level, like, the tentacles are starting to take people out quite easily, right?
Yes. Okay.
But you can do what you, do what you want, really.
I am going to do what I want.
It's totally fine.
Whatever I flipping well feel like.
It's a fun game for fun kids.
I think I know what I'm going to do with my scene, for better or worse.
I've just realised Joan, my character, is hard of hearing as well. This is going to be the loud scenes of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, we just want your two characters in a scene together, really.
I'm hoping that at some point we get to see Sue's sketchbook for this game, because either it's covered in tentacles or there are absolutely zero tentacles.
Currently no tentacles.
Well, threat level's one.
All right, so you are all, the Women's Institute, you are at your stall at the Tentacle Garden City Annual Medieval Fete. So the Tentacle Garden City Annual Medieval Fete is probably, it's on like a football field, I'm thinking. And you've got lots of stalls, some very clearly better than others. Some people quite competitive, some people just turning up and doing the bare minimum. And a number of people cosplaying medieval people. So you've got the women in the long sleeves and you've got the men in the armour and some gender non-conforming behaviour in there as well. And one horse, there's someone's brought a shire horse and tied it up to a tree. So I would like to know what each of you is selling on your medieval fate stall and how good is it? Let's go in the same order as we go in for introductions.
I'm so ready for this question. Okay. You know those little sachets of lavender, which are like, maybe there's like lace around the edge of them. Sometimes they're sewn, sometimes they're crocheted, sometimes they're knitted. And they are ostensibly, you put them in your drawers to make your clothes smell nice. But they're basically, they don't do that. They're pretty useless. So you're just kind of buying, like, it's just tat, really. That's what I'm selling.
Nice.
Joan is on the classic white elephant stall, which is literally any old crap she can think of to sell on a stall. Plus, it's got a whack the rat game on the side, just bodged onto the side because it's just a drain pipe with a sock with some... Yeah, so it's anachronistic in every way. There's whatever she can sell on the stall.
I bet you Splat the Rat was a medieval invention.
But Splat the Rat's probably, yeah, the way she's selling it as authentic. There's probably some stolen goods on there, but she probably wouldn't admit it if you lost.
Rather than physical goods, I think Mavis is kind of selling more of a lifestyle. she's behind the stall, of course, because, you know, we have to be raising funds for the Women's Institute. But she's perched on probably a very comfortable looking fold out chair, legs crossed and kind of designer sunglasses on her face so that you can't see her eyes at all. And she's just looking fabulous behind there. Later she's going to be judging. She's not sure what or who, but for the moment it's a lifestyle thing.
Nice.
Peggy has gone for the classic preserves, obviously, but she has tried to medievalise them a little bit. So they're very root vegetable heavy, which is weird. You know, strawberry and turnip. Black, you know, Sweden bramble, that kind of thing. It's deeply unpopular, but that kind of suits Peggy because it means she doesn't get bothered. She's probably having a little sleep.
Nice. Well, as you are all, I'm assuming that you're either on the same stall or a cluster of little stalls close mm-hmm. together.
Yes.
And as you are sat at your stalls, there is a sudden explosion of little lavender shaped cushion thingies as something lands in the middle of your pile of lavender cushions.
Mavis shrieks.
Sending them scattering in and flying everywhere.
Geraldine puts her glasses on.
Joan immediately pulls out a flick knife.
Peggy is kind of roused with a bit of a snort and a kind of, yeah, just she's just woken up from a lovely, lovely little sleep. She doesn't know what's going on.
I think that Geraldine is just going to calmly, sense of no fuss, will walk around the front of the stall. And I should make it clear at this point that she's wearing a tweed skirt suit, brown tights and sensible shoes. And a blouse with like a kind of, it's like a silk blouse with, you know, that they have those kind of little ties at the front that looks like a kind of a big bow. And a brooch of something old-fashioned looking. She just kind of smartly walks around the front of the stall, tuts a little and starts reorganising it. And then says, Mavis, Mavis, dear, perhaps you could come and help me. I mean, you did forget the float after all, so...
Hang on. So as soon as you start trying to reorganise your thing, you will realise what it is that's landed in the middle of your display. And it is a roughly the same size as a child's arm, shall we say, maybe a bit smaller. A sort of fat, sausagey tentacle that has landed in the middle of your display and is kind of writhing around horrifically, knocking a few more of your lovely lavender cushions out of the bowl that you had arranged them in.
Having reassessed the situation, she won't ask Mavis to come over and help, despite the fact that Mavis didn't remember the float. She'll instead say, Joan,
hey,
could you just come and give me your opinion on this?
She needs some help, Joan. Yep. Help her.
Looks a what? Oh, your stall looks a bit of a mess.
Yes, I'm just trying to clear it up, Joan. Is this a strange sort of cat? Or like, you know, those hairless ones? She might even, like, you say it's as big as a child's arm. Like, without getting too finickety or rules lawyer about this, are we talking like an 18-month child or a 17-year-old child?
I'm trying to... It's... like maybe 18 inches? Is that, am I holding my hands 18 inches apart? Maybe it's more like at 2 foot. I don't know. It's in that kind of ballpark.
A small toddler.
3 centimetres on my screen, Josh.
Yeah, right. It's
a
fairly
toddler doesn't have a 2 foot long arm. What are you talking about?
I don't know how. Well, I didn't say a toddler. I said a child. Could be any age.
Ed said toddler.
Yeah, but isn't it like I'm thinking it's like a plant like root like clump of tentacles is what I'm imagining.
No, it's a tentacle.
Oh, it's just a tentacle.
A whole one, or a portion of one.
It's a whole tentacle.
Doesn't it have a... It's not attached to anything.
No, this one's not attached to anything. It's like a loose tentacle.
Joan leans
it's
over and...
It's like a snake, but, you know, they kind of writhe in a tentacle way rather than a snake way.
I think she sort of sniffs it. She sort of leans over and sniffs it. Says, has any of you got a bag? We put it in a bag.
Oh, yes, I've got one, I think. Peggy starts just rustling around under the table.
As you reach over to get the bags, another tentacle lands in the jam display, sending jars of jam flying, and one of your best jars of jam lands on the ground and cracks open like an egg.
Is this the boys in charge of the trebuchet? This really isn't funny, you know.
Do you want me to go and talk to them? I'll
yes,
definitely
I
kick
do.
Their arses.
Yeah, well, they will need to pay for this produce.
Go and tell them, Joan.
I'm going
it's
to.
It's not appropriate. We're all here trying to do our best.
Another tentacle lands. You hear the sound of it landing, but you're not sure where it's landing. Then it comes shooting out the bottom of the Splat the Rat tube and lands at your feet.
I'd hurry if I were you, Joan. Otherwise, this entire day is going to be a complete disaster.
Maybe we should move along somewhere.
Out of range.
I'm just wondering if this is going to be... very tentacly any minute now.
Another hey, tentacle
Peggy,
lands.
Peggy, will that be your first sale? Good job,
ooh,
dear.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Peggy looks down at the empty notepad that she has with her to keep track of sales. starts to write down one jar. Yeah.
Another tentacle lands and another, and now it's starting to heat up like... There's quite a few tentacles coming down.
I suggest, ladies, we get back out of range until Joan has sorted this out with the boys at the trebuchet. It won't take her long.
Good. Well, I mean, it is tea time. We could always, you know, stop for a break.
Oh, yes. Excellent idea.
Well, we better not forget the money tin. Oh, no, wait. Somebody didn't bring a float.
Mavis is reaching into a bag and pulling out a bottle of gin, pays no attention to the...
The tentacles are starting to come down thick and fast now. It's more than a light rain of tentacles that is falling down around you. And perhaps if someone is... Peggy is heading towards the trebuchet, you probably don't get very far as you notice that the tentacles are falling all around the medieval fate, and the people in the trebuchet look as baffled by this as anybody.
Maybe we should head for the organic cafe.
It is dear there, but yes, it is the closest.
It's all right, Peggy, I'll spot you.
Oh, you're a dear.
That's a suggestion of a travel action, I think.
Yeah.
It was indeed.
Yeah. It's tricky in the first bit because it's almost like when you do the first scene, you almost want to immediately add one to the local threat on the location you're at, just to kick things off a bit, because that then at least means you got an option of attacking the tentacles.
Well, I thought having a large number of not very threatening tentacles felt in the spirit of the current threat level.
Yeah,
so.
No. I think it's fine. It's just tricky to sort of decide what your first actions are because there's no immediate threat
what
to deal with, or
do.
Yeah. But yeah, travel seems to make the most sense. I was going to go for looking for a plastic bag as being our action, but that's fine.
I think there's too many of them. I don't think a bag for life would even cut it at this point.
No, not even a brolly.
Although, speaking of, I might get out one of those, you know, those little things that old ladies put over their heads. Used to
the plastic things.
Plastic headkerchief things.
So you'd have a headkerchief and then put a plastic thing over the top of the headkerchief.
Well, I think that I haven't got a headkerchief, I think, because...
Just straight up
see-through. I've just had a root perm and set done, so for the day. So I think I'm going to have one of those. I'm going to whip out my plastic headkerchief.
That's fine. You don't need to roll for that. But you do need to roll to get to the organic farm shop and cafe or whatever it is.
Yeah, so I don't think I've got anything that's applicable.
I mean, I'm definitely putting my emergency poncho on.
Yes.
is clearly relevant when it's raining tentacles.
That is relevant.
It's going to keep them off you.
Plus one.
That is just a flat plus one to your roll.
Yeah.
It's not a pimped out.
Not yet.
Oh, same poncho. A pimped out poncho would have been perfect. Because then it could have been beautifully embroidered.
I feel you should be able to choose what's pimped out mid-flow, but anyway. Anybody adding any other items or stress? Or are we just rolling 4d6 plus?
Not
one?
Adding stress, but I have plus two for street
that's
smart.
True.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe I will add a stress. Yeah, go on, let's add a stress.
Oh, wow.
I think Mavis is just very calmly stepping around falling tentacles, looking fabulous as she goes.
I think Joan's trying to punch tentacles out of the sky.
Stress gives me an extra die, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, I'm ready to roll.
You roll, because I want to see how well you've done collectively.
Oh, Becky, nice.
Quite good.
I've rolled 11.
11 on your own, nice. I got 4.
I got 2.
So that's, I think you've got 20 total.
21 altogether, I think.
Wow.
So the tentacles got 17. I got close, but not close enough. So you managed to make it through the pelting tentacular downpour. Does anybody want to provide some description, or should we just assume that walking to the organic cafe in tentacle rain is actually not that hard?
Let's assume it's not that hard and move on.
I guess we just see the last of we see of the Women's Institute is them all thundering through the door as a unit. If you just sort of had a sort of freeze frame of them looking sort of actiony, Women's Institute actiony as they come through the door of the cafe.
Oh, I wanted to do a frame leaving the fate before that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to show a horrible, fat, maggot-like tentacle sat squirming in a puddle of Sweden bramble jelly.
Growing slightly larger as it engorges itself.
Oh,
on
it's the jelly nutrient.
purplish veins appearing as it consumes the...
Does it, like, pulsate or slightly every time it hits a bit of swede? Because it has to kind of expand to pass it down its body.
You see the little chunks of swede sort of moving along its veins.
Veins?
Yeah, veins. Tentacles have veins.
No, I know, but I was just surprised that...
They take the food into their bloodstream.
They take the food straight into the veins.
Aliens.
That's how veins work, Becky. Don't you understand biology?
No, I didn't do science past GCSE.
How do you think the energy from your food gets to your muscles to make them go?
Ghosts.
It feeds the little tiny guys and then they run around.
Yeah. The little tiny ghosts. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like quantum's just space ghosts. This is just pretty organic much ghosts.
Right, that's my theme. Who's next? Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Escape from Tentacle City by Willow Polacek. You can find links to Escape from Tentacle City and to our stuff in the show notes. We also have a Discord, and we'd love it if you came out and hung out with us there. You can find the link to that also in the show notes. See you next time. So have I told you all that I had tater tots the other day?
Yeah, you shared an image of it. But you had lots of other stuff with the tater tots on top of the tots.
Yes, it was loaded tater tots. So it turns out that our local barbecue joint, I think there's probably more than one barbecue joint, but this is the best local barbecue joint by a wide margin, the Fat Pig Barbecue.
Must have a choice.
Which was set up during lockdown and became wildly popular very, very fast. They do loaded tater tots. So I don't think these are probably official tater tots like the tater tots that you get in the US, because they kind of had a texture like a kind of slightly gluey gnocchi-like texture.
No, they're more like miniature hash browns, the American ones.
Have they got like chunky bits in the American ones then?
Yeah, so you imagine, if you will, a hash brown that's been shrunk down to a small size. It's that.
So more.
Oh my God, Ed
crispy.
Wasn't here when we had the last conversation about tater tots, so we're actually getting new knowledge and expertise here. This is amazing.
How do you know this, Ed?
I've been to the Americas.
What?
On several voyages.
Oh, I've only been once and I wasn't given a tater tot.
I was about to say, like Christopher Columbus.
I'm like Christopher Columbus, except for without all the diseases and that.
The killing.
Yeah, without all the murder. All the pantalons,
These were very good. I have to recommend these, but if they're not really like tater tots, then I'm not sure what it is I'm recommending to you, other than come up here and get something from the Fat Pig.
So it's like mashed potato, like very dense mashed potato in a crunchy coating.
No, because it's... Have you had gnocchi?
Yes. It's very dense mashed potato.
Man's had tater tots. Of course he's had gnocchi.
You name a potato format and I've probably had it.
Is it like very dense mashed potato?
It's like quite dense mashed potato, yeah. What would you describe gnocchi as then?
I don't know really, but not that.
A potato and semolina dumpling that's a bit gluey on the inside.
It's a dumpling, that's right.
I think next time we'll get dumpling together, not we need dense. To figure out ways to compress potatoes, mashed potato, as tightly as we can.
And like see whether it turns out into, turns into a gnocchi. Or a tater tot.
Or something else that nobody's yet encountered.
Right. Next time we meet up, we're going to have a gnocchi off.
A knock-off gnocchi off?
No, the real deal.
Wow.
Now you're going to make them from scratch with your own fair hands?
Sure, why not?
Yum. I'll eat that.
Is that because you're sure you want to say that? You just feel that you could turn
I think I have, but I think I used some sort of machinery thing for it. I'm not sure where that came from. Yeah, some sort of rolly.
A special tool.
Like a gnocchi stamp.
you sort of roll them along, I think, as I remember, and it sort of rolls them into a sort of that
you make a
trademark
sausage and then you
bean
cut,
shape
you
that
cut
they
sections
are.
Out of the sausages.
Yeah, they look like big
that's how
coffee
I've done
beans,
it.
Don't they?
Mm.
I've eaten your food before, Ed, and it was on at least two occasions, and it was delicious both times.
Well, yeah. I'm still going outdoors to cook a lot at the moment.
Oh, no. Have you not got your oven sorted?
No, sorted. Just using my pizza oven. Every Friday, you're going to get a new pizza for the next year.
I was going to say, you've got to make us a barbecue Christmas dinner before you make us gnocchi. Mm.
I have got the PitQ recipe book, which is, I did ribs in from that, which was pretty awesome. And we made our own homemade barbecue sauce from it. So I do quite like doing barbecuing. And that was like a 12-hour smoked rib thing. So I had to keep the barbecue going and drink a hell of a lot of beer.
Get up in the night.
No, I just think I got up early and then we just had it in the early evening. It was, or maybe it wasn't 12 hours. Maybe that's a bit too, maybe it was like six. Maybe it's the quick version. Something like that, anyway. Let's say 24. Yeah, I was up for 24 hours nursing this rib.
It must have been a hell of a rib.
It was, but it was a little bit too salty because what I did was I put the marinade, which was very salty, in the fridge for several hours, whereas actually what you're supposed to do is just put it the rub on right at the last second so it doesn't draw out the moisture. So after 48 hours, 72 hours of watching this rib, yeah, it was a bit salty, which was made me sad. So I'd give it another go, is what I'm saying, for you guys.
You're the best.
Well, I think you are officially very welcome in the role-playing retirement village, Ed.
As barbecue man.
Pitmaster.
Yeah.
Well, just I feel like you're going to make a good contribution to the food culture of the place that I'm expecting, you know, when we all retire to the role-playing retirement village,
yep.
as I'm sure everyone on this call will be doing, we will definitely have regular cooking events where people make nice food for each other, right?
Yes.
That's just a given.
Yep. Yeah, sounds great.
We'll make all the puddings.
We'll be able to have, like, every weekend we could take, like, the whole of Saturday to just cook something really good while playing board games and role-playing games around the periphery of the cooking.
Hang on.
We're retired.
Yeah. Why aren't we doing it
every Tuesday?
Every day?
Yeah, like, literally, that would be my entire life if I could do it. Just play games and cook nice food. That would be it. What else would you need?
I'd like to take some time to go swimming, actually.
Yeah, well, you guys will be down the dojo a couple of times a week teaching.
Yeah, obviously, so, yeah. Exercise.
Still beating up 12-year-olds.
18.
Yeah. Twice a week.
Just punching them in the throat like normal. Taking them out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Black belt! I'm sure they've... I take it back. They're probably very kind to young novices in the dojo.
Yeah, but we're not.
No, I am.
Good cop, bad cop. Or good cop.
Yeah.
Good sensei, bad sensei.
I let guess.
There is no light without shadow.
Yeah. Throat punch.
Kidney punch.
That's how you do it.
It's not usually punching. You choke them out.
Okay.
12-year-olds.
Just anyone, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought you were going to take up BJJ, Ed.
Yeah, but what I've realised is I'm really unfit at the moment, so I'm just trying to get myself back into sort of... So I'm doing lots of stretching and basic press-ups and core strength work at the moment, so...
Calisthenics?
Basically, I've got the Dr. Roy big book of calisthenics, and I'm working my way through it. Take over the galaxy, one core exercise at a time is the tagline.